after 163 years, the Illinois State Fair is always adding new traditions. New this year is the Hometown Hero Award, recognizing people who perform selfless acts, overcome incredible odds, and reach milestone achievements. The inaugural winner is a teenager, Eric Mason. Eric just graduated from Springfield's Lanphier High School, and on Saturday, he left to begin college at Stanford University. That means he won't be around to partake in the glory, like joining the Grand Marshals to lead the Illinois State Fair Parade on Thursday, that comes along with being the hometown hero. But he was recognized last week at a fair preview day. I'm Amanda Vinicky with NPR Illinois, and I got to meet Eric Mason there. I asked him to share his journey.
I was born in Chicago, and my situation there was not good at all. I remember living on Drexel Street, I believe. We all slept in one room, and the living situation was really, really bad. We'd all crowd sleep in one bed. There were insects and rodents everywhere. And I remember the situation kind of improving a little bit, but we moved inside of my mom's boyfriend's basement, and he wasn't the best of guys, so I kind of stayed away. And when I really found my pursuits in my academics was I used to confide in the library. So I was always in the library all the time. That was my place of refuge. Right after school, I would go walk to the library until 9:30. And I still remember the librarian giving me saltines when I was hungry. So that warm feeling is forever engraved in my heart. And that's when one of my favorite books is Harry Potter. And the reason why is because I used to read them when I was younger, and Harry Potter was the boy who lived, and I wanted to be like him. So I strived to crawl out of the abyss that had been created of darkness for me. And I finally end up escaping there when I was around age 8. And my half-brother's mother, Bessie Mae Davis, she took me in. She brought me here. Things were going well.
She was a Springfield resident. Yes, and when you said we all were living in the basement, that's you and siblings, or?
Yes, me and siblings and my grandmother.
Okay. And then your relative, what did you say? It was, who lived in Springfield?
My half-brother's mother. So we had the same father, but different mother, okay. Different mothers.
And she knew that you weren't liking it in Chicago, or?
I feel as though when I had came to their house, she could just tell that I was malnourished and things weren't going too well for me. She can just see it, and she can see that I longed for better, and I just had a lot more potential, I guess. So she took me, and she told my birth mother, she goes, well, I'll take him. And
formally adopted, or this was an informal arrangement?
This was informal. So she came and she took me, so she brought me here, and things were going well. So it was probably around third or fourth grade, and she ended up my birth mother, she wanted me back for what odd reasons, I don't know. So she brought me back, and then she said, well, no, you're not going back to Springfield. And I was like, why? I was doing so well there. It's so much better in opportunities. And after a very long, hard-fought battle, I was finally able to come back here. And I went to Franklin Middle School from 6th through 8th grade, and things were going well. But then in the 8th grade, Bessie, she passed away of brain cancer. And when she passed away, then I remember there's a lady that's really prominent in my life today. Her name's Mary Schwartz. It's crazy because when Bessie had passed away, I remember Miss Schwartz, she asking me to help her because I was good friends with her son. She asked me to help them do some stretching for track.
And this is just a friend's mother?
Yes, and I remember her saying, because Bessie had just recently passed away, so I came there. She goes, well, how's Bessie doing? And I said, oh, well, she passed away. Well, as I was hugging Miss Schwartz, she promised to never leave me, but she didn't know how long she was going to be around, because little did I know, she had breast cancer, and she was wearing a wig currently. So cancer just following me. So,
and where were you living during this time when you had your caretaker had passed away? You're a teenager, or were you even a teen by then? Were you still a preteen?
I was a teenager by then, I believe. And my father, he came to Springfield to try to take care of us, and he meant well, but he wasn't equipped. He couldn't find a job, so things weren't just going too well. So we ended up.
You were living in Springfield with your father and who else?
And my half brother, he was
okay.
Still here.
So it was the three of you.
And then things started going bad. My half brother, with Bessie passing away, it just really, really hurt him. So he was really, really, really troubled, and it was hard to watch him because it impacted me most definitely, but I know it impacted him because that was his birth mother. That's his birth mother. So watching him, and then my father, he's trying, but he can't really do much. And so we end up moving in this house with no running water, heating, or plumbing. And my brother, he ends up going to live in Colorado with his aunt to try to help him. So I'm staying here in Springfield because I'm doing really well at Landfair and I'm liking it. But my father, he would leave the house and just leave me there. So then I would have to find means to wash my clothes and means to take a shower and means to eat. So
while you're still trying to ace a test, etc.
So yeah, so then but my biggest supporters were my friends and my networking. So my friend group was extremely supportive to me. If it wasn't for my friends, I don't know where I would be. If I needed somewhere to shower, they'd let me shower with us. If I needed somewhere to wash my clothes. And then oftentimes I would always, my coach, Mr. Michael Garcia, he was always there for me. That's my other father. He would open up the school for me in the morning so I can shower and things like that. So without them, I don't know where I would be today. And
your friend's mom, Miss Schwartz, was it?
Yeah, Miss Schwartz, she was always like an omnipotent presence because she'd moved to Chicago, but she was always there to check on me, make sure I was okay. And I was sophomore year living in that house. I came back to the house and the locks on the doors were changed. Somebody had changed the locks on the doors. I don't know who did, but it was in the middle of winter and it was in December and I didn't have anywhere to go. So then
foreclosure or something or?
No, I don't think it was foreclosure. The locks on the house were changed. I know that. And so then I called my friend Hunter Collins and his parents, Carrie and Jimmy Winterbauer, they came and got me, and I've been staying with them ever since by the grace of God. And I was going towards the middle of sophomore year, and I've been there ever since. And they've just been so supportive and helping me and whatnot, and just giving me a place to live and just being the parents that I really never had in that aspect.
Do you talk to your mother or father at all now?
I would most definitely talk to them. I don't hold any grudges. That's not healthy. And it only just drives a relationship farther away. So even though those things happen, I mean, they already happened. It's in the past. I can't change it, so I don't hold a grudge. But if they try to communicate with me, yeah, I will. I talked to my birth mother probably a month ago. And then I just recently talked to my father. So it's not like we don't have we try to communicate, but the relationship isn't that healthy, I would presume. And I can see why, and the aspect of time is the only thing that can really heal it.
How did you first tell your friends about your situation? It can be difficult for people, period, let alone a teenager, to admit when they're going through something. Everything feels embarrassing.
Oh, yeah. So, in the beginning, when I was in middle school and Bessie had first passed away and I was going through a lot of things, I tried to conform to the social norms, just like it's just what teenagers do. So, even though I didn't have the money, I would try to wear the clothes that everybody had and I would try to hide, like, my situation. But there was one instance my sophomore year when my visual prowess was really awakened and I just realized that it didn't matter what I was going through, that you have to look at people as individuals, not their physical characteristics or beliefs or the situation. And I remember I had testicular torsion my freshman year. And I going into my sophomore year, cross country, I didn't have the right undergarments. Because I did, but I couldn't wash them because I didn't have a place to wash my clothes. And I was practicing, and my coach, Mr. Michael Garcia, he goes, well, you need to finish the workout, because I was one of the leaders and I was heading the pace. And he goes, well, you need to finish the workout. And I can't do it because my testicles are hurting because I don't have the right undergarments. So then after that, he goes, well, if you don't finish the workout, you can't run in the meet. And then he doesn't know my situation at the time. So then I said, well, I can't finish it. So he goes, okay, well, you're not running in the meet. So then I start walking back. And I remember my friend Aaron Riggins coming up to me. And he's one of my closest friends to this day. He came up to me and he said, Eric, what's wrong? He goes, it's not like you to like not finish a workout. I see that you were hurting. And then I just started bawling in tears. And I started telling Aaron everything. And to my surprise, Aaron did not judge me at all. Instead, Aaron was more irritated because he thought that my coach knew what was going on. So he welcomed me into his home for a couple of days and whenever I needed to. And he goes, well, you can come stay with me, wash your clothes. And him and his mom have always been a blessing to me. And I remember Aaron, he went to my coach and he said, if this is what's going on the team, then I don't want to be a part of it. And he goes, what? He goes, you don't know about Eric's situation? You made him run? And he goes, no. So that's when my coach had found out. And that's when I realized that people aren't as judgmental as you think they are. And it's also the way how you come about it. So that's what I, when I became the captain of the team, recent after that, I tried to instill that inside of my teammates and just let them know that you shouldn't judge people. And that's one of my biggest mottos, that you should look at people, you should look past all of that and see the spirit and the soul that's underneath it, because it's a human being. And that's when I realized that I can become comfortable with my story, and it just really sharpened my visual prowess in that aspect. And ever since then, I'm not ashamed of my story in that aspect, but instead I actually want to use it as a tool to bring some light into the darkness. And I even did that. I went to guest speak at Lincoln Magnet Middle School to tell the kids that it's not something that you should be afraid of, to be homeless. And being homeless, it's okay, in the sense that you don't have to be afraid of it and try to hide it from everybody, because you can get help. And I remember I used to always introduce to the kids, I'd tell them like my academic achievements, my athletic achievements and stuff. And then they'd look at my parents and I'd say, well, would you believe I was homeless? And they'd be like, well, no, like, are you serious? So that's just something that I like to do to give back to the community and try to let them know.
What do you do if you have a teacher that, say, isn't aware of your situation? Maybe that's new to Springfield. When you were, obviously now you've graduated, you're done, congratulations. You're a Lanphier grad, but prior to that, still some tough situations, or did your life become more stable? Because as you said, you stayed with a particular friend versus having to worry about where you're going to bathe, where you're going to wash your clothes. You had a stable place.
So going towards it still was kind of weird, I can see, in a sense, like where you live. I'm living with my friend. So, I mean, in that aspect, the social aspect, it probably seemed weird to other people, but it didn't matter to me. And I encountered just different problems in the sense of what I had to deal with. Like, with my academic pursuits, I remember I used to always, I wanted to take Calculus 2, and I used to have to try to find a way, because it wasn't offered at our school, so I had to go to a different high school early in the morning. So my school day lasts from 7 o'clock to 3:30 instead of the average 8:24. And I used to have to try to find means for transportation for that and things like that.
How did you get there? What did you do?
My friend, I would get dropped off at his house in the morning, and then he would take me. So, and then we would go together, and because we both went to the class. So just like little things like that. So, I mean, it was always difficult to try to, because I don't want to put so much pressure on people that I just moved in with. So I'm trying to find different means to try to alleviate the pressure on them and to not have to depend on them so much, because it's already bad enough that I moved into their house and they're helping me out, so let alone trying to sit there and depend on them fully.
What is the game plan now? You're going to Stanford. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a biomedical engineer, and I want to help combat third world diseases and also cancer, which is my ultimate goal. And I also, so that'll be my bachelor's, and then depending on how I do, I'm going to take the MCAT and then see if I can get into medical school with a good score. But if not, then I'll just go on to get my master's. And then I'll be doing cancer research and just engineering different tools to try to make the world a better place.
After the effect cancer has had on so many people that are beloved to you, I presume that's where that comes from?
Yes, that's why. Just cancer has been so prominent in my life, and it's just something that I want to make sure nobody else has to go through the same pain that I did.
Reiterate for me your kind of high school career. You said you're salutatorian. What sports did you play? I see you've got a cross around your neck. Are you also a church goer?
I am. TJ and I, actually, one of my closest friends, we embarked on our I always had a lot of faith in God when I was younger, whenever I needed to do something, or in the aspect of just God, he always gave me hope. And TJ and I actually embarked on a spiritual journey together. We started going to church together, and we still do. We went to our last church service actually together probably a week and a half ago, because he's going off to University of Texas Austin, and he's at his pre-orientation camp. It's called Fish Camp. So that's where he just left and went there. And then I'm leaving Saturday, so I don't know when's the next time I'm going to see him. And I also ran track and cross country. Those were really positive outlets, and for me to just help the community and give back and just try to let the youth know that it's not the end, it's where it begins.
So you're a runner, a churchgoer, any other extracurriculars or?
Oh, I love volunteering. Like I said, I love guest speaking, especially when I went to go to Lincoln Magnet Middle School. I just feel like I'm really giving back to the community. I also am active in robotics and did different type of engineering clubs. I loved trying to be active in school because the best part about it was all the clubs that I did, it got me out away from being at home. So I loved being inside of the clubs. I loved Spirit Club, student government, and things like that.
You've done so much and gone through so much. College is a new path. Any trepidation there, or how are you paying for tuition? Do you have a scholarship or any supports?
Stanford gave me a full ride, so it's just the Stanford Fund Scholarship. It was $72,000. And then I also have different external scholarships that are going to help me get to and from Stanford and help me just get the things that I need. So all
books, clothes.
Yeah, all scholarship based.
Why do you think it was that Springfield was an easier place for you than Chicago?
Springfield was an easier place than Chicago because just all of the, it's a really big city and it's so much negativity there. I mean, it's not all negative there, depending on the area that you're in, but where I was personally, it was just not good enough for me to thrive. The educational system there was horrible, so I couldn't really be adamant in my academics and actually have to take the path that I wanted to. So coming to Springfield, I was able to pursue the academic rigor that I wanted and be able to be enthralled by my academics. So I think that's why here I was able to thrive more.
Even though some people say Lanphier isn't a good enough school, if I'm correct. I mean, I didn't go to school in District 186, but from what I gather, there are some parents that say, nope, this isn't good enough. I want my kid to go to private school in Springfield. Lanphier was a good school for you.
Oh, yeah. I definitely disagree with that. It just depends on what you make out of the situation that you're in. And that's what a lot of the big-time colleges that you're applying to, they're looking for. They want to see that you pursued and you did the most with what you had, because obviously everybody's going to be different depending on what school you go to. And it's just what you make of the tools that you have. It's not you have to make do with what's available to you. Because even in life, that's what's going to happen. You're going to have to make do with what's available to you. So it all depends on your approach and how optimistic you are. You don't have to be pessimistic about it. All you have to do is look for the best and look for the light in the darkness.
That was 18-year-old Eric Mason of Springfield, whose tenacity in the face of adversity helped him earn a full ride to Stanford University, and who was the first ever winner of the Illinois State Fair's new Hometown Hero Award.